The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Hide the kids and the easily offended. This is the Nate Darling Show, uncensored.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Now, here's Nate and the gang.
The one-man gang, Jason Casey, joining me.
What's up?
No relation to the former professional wrestler, the one-man gang.
No, no relation.
I don't think the one-man gang is still alive.
Oh, poor
guy. Let me check real quick. I know this is important. One man gang. Hey, did you know Harry Styles had a new song being? Oh no, he is alive.
Oh, he is.
He is. From last August, there is a he had a relief fund on GoFundMe.
Oh no.
Oh, let's see what that was about.
Let's see what Iron Sheik had to say about it. Go fuck yourself.
No. Well, see, as we're recording this, we're recording on Monday, and there's a big shakeup on Monday Night Raw, roster shakeup. So I can't go on Twitter because I don't want anything spoiled for
me. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of how I'm going at this whole thing. Let's see.
I could find.
No, he, no, don't. He was in the Great Flood of 16 that smashed Southern Louisiana. Yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't there to do a 747 splash and send the water back up the street crying for its mama. and he was in Georgia at the whole time. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. They didn't have flood insurance.
Well, it's funny. A lot of people don't because it's a national program and you have to. It's.
So the one man gang, his $20,000 goal on GoFundMe got to $15,615.
All right. That's not so bad.
By the way, you can still donate. It's not closed down.
Oh.
Even though somebody donated $10 just 4 days ago.
Wow.
And $20 and $20 and $10 and $30.
Wow, good for them.
Yeah, it all adds up. So if you love the one man gang and you want to help him out, he's posing in front of a pile of debris from his flooded out home. There he is, Jason, the one man gang. and his soaked sofa.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, well,
he's a big guy.
He was a one man gang, for God's sake.
Like, he's as big as that tree almost.
He was a big fella. He still is a big fella. so there you go. Now I've sidetracked myself talking about the one man gang.
You did it yourself.
I did it to myself. I can, you know, normally I have Kareem here to blame for nonsense when we get sidetracked, but that was all me.
That was completely me. That was you wanting to be a nerd about wrestling.
Oh no, and totally, absolutely was. absolutely was. So there, that was the whole thing. All right, before we get into Kylie Jenner coming to Sacramento.
Oh, I can't wait.
There was all of that going. It's time for the final installment of Nate's trip to Philadelphia.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Let me find some music.
Play that song by that one band.
That song by the one band? All right, let's do this one then.
Oh, yeah,
this will be good. This is Philly Part 3, the trip back through Houston.
I hate Houston. I flew into Houston. Okay, I can't let it go for it.
Yeah. So, Leslie drops me off at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I get the TSA pre, which is pretty good.
Yep.
Except there's a fella in a cowboy hat and cowboy boots standing there, and he's struggling to take off his cowboy boots in the TSA pre-check line. Which, by the way, one of the benefits of the TSA pre-check line is you don't have to take off your goddamn shoes.
Unless you're a steel tip, maybe?
Nope.
Well.
Nope.
Yeah.
To the point where the TSA people were like, gotta keep it moving, put your stuff on the belt. If there's somebody in front of you not moving, go around them. So I get in there, and by the way, they have lids in the airport in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, and a dude who is a salesman, he's like, hey, man, if you want a customized hat, I can do one up for you real nice, 10 minutes. I'm like, well, that's tempting, but no.
What would you have gotten on it?
I don't know. I didn't buy a hat there. I already bought my Philadelphia Phillies hat. I didn't, although there is a very cool 76ers hat that has a caricature of Benjamin Franklin dribbling a basketball.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Not cool enough for me to buy. I'm just saying.
I'd wear it.
It's a fine hat. So anyway, I get down there and I finally find my way to the terminal that I'm flying out of, which is the very last door on the terminal at the airport. Mm-hmm. And there is about one, two, three. There are six terminals in the smallest area you can possibly mm-hmm. imagine. And it smells and it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And before people start to line, now there's only one line, this one. It says groups one and two and then groups three, four, and five. But there's really only place for one line. But people who are impatient just start lining up.
Yeah.
No matter what boarding group they're in, they're just lining up. And then I hear the announcement. We're overbooked today. If anybody would like to make different arrangements, we are offering a $200 travel voucher, a hotel voucher, and meal voucher. I could only see one person who went up there, and I don't know if she was taking them up on it. But they didn't drag anybody off of our plane, so thank there's goodness. That.
Yeah.
And I go to get on the plane, and I have a window seat. And I'm walking down the aisle, and I see this dude. And he's not come up very far. I'm going, what is this asshole doing just sitting there? Because he's talking to somebody. I can see he's talking to somebody. But he looks like he's slouching way down because his head's only about three quarters of the way up the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get up to the row. He's a little person. He was not slouching.
He was standing.
No, he wasn't. He was sitting in the seat. So, first of all, I can't, because the only thing I'm going to say if I start anything other than a very cursory, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm in the window seat conversation is, do you ever watch Little Women LA? And I'm not going to do that because that would be the biggest asshole move. So I'm like, hey, I got the window seat. And yeah, we get the whole thing started. And he's fine. And I'm sleepy. I'm sleepy as all hell. So I do that thing on the flight where I'm listening to podcasts, but I'm drifting off to sleep for anywhere from 10 minutes to 30 minutes. I have no idea every time. So I'm having to go back and rewind and listen all the way to Houston.
Yeah.
We land in Houston. And it feels like about a 20-mile drive from where we land to somewhere near the terminal where the plane stops. And we wait. And we wait. Mm-hmm. And we wait. Meanwhile, I have less than an hour layover in Houston. So the pilot finally comes on and says, yeah, we're waiting for a plane that's sitting parked at our gate right now, but they're getting ready to push back, and then we'll be able to pull in. So I'm just watching the time tick by, tick, and I know I'm going to be in gate E something, and my next plane is at gate C something. And every time you land, when you got a Fitbit, you have to sync it so that it gets the right time zone because the watch does not reset. So I knew how many steps I had. Finally get off the plane. And I'm hauling ass. And I have to stop and take a leak. I'm like, I'm going to stop and take a leak. But I'm like, how fucking far is this gate? And it's like C1, it's like gate C1 through 58. And I'm like, 58? Fuck. And then at one point, I almost missed the left turn that you have to make to get to gates C1 through 12 or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
But I make it down there. I hustle all the way down there. And I'm sweating because it's hot in this airport. I've been on this plane. And I check my Fitbit. How many steps do you think it was between getting up from my seat on the plane and getting to the next terminal?
I'm going to say 9,300.
Well, that would be almost 5 miles, Jason.
Well, you make it sound like it's going to be this huge amount. Like, and you never know. Like that, you never know. 5 miles. It could take me an hour to get over there. You know, I don't know, man. I don't know. Hey, listen. Why are you judging me about this? Okay, how about this? 200.
Well, there you go. It was 1,000. It was a half a mile. Once you said 9, it doesn't seem like anything. It was 1,000 steps. It was a half a mile walk.
So then I get
right. So I get there and there's a Starbucks right there. I get like the liter bottle of Fiji water. Cause I'm like, I need something.
Yeah, you need something. That's
so I'm in line and I'm in group 5. So I'm getting on the plane near the end. I don't care.
Yeah.
And we're a little delayed getting on because the plane, I guess, was a little, they're cleaning the plane. Okay, right. Great. No,
good,
not
awesome.
A big deal.
Thank goodness.
The dude in front of me. Now, I'm a fairly big guy. The dude in front of me, significantly larger than me.
All right.
At least 100 pounds.
He gave up.
He's at least 100 pounds bigger than me.
He definitely gave up.
And as we finally get on the plane, I see I see him going down through the aisle. And he is so wide, and he's not turning. I don't know if him turning would make him any... Like, if you or I turn, we get a little less width.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's the same for him. So he's bumping people with his girth all the way down through. And I'm right behind him. And the looks of anger and disgust on people's faces as this guy is going down the aisle are priceless. I saw at least 3 people that wanted to stab him in the neck.
Did he have an ill-fitting shirt? So like he was like wiping his like belly like on everybody as he was.
No. He had oversized everything.
Okay, well at least he was nice enough to do that.
Sure. So anyway, that ends my interaction with this fella. So I go down through and I find my seat, and it's thankfully it's like this teenage girl and her mom are sitting in the middle in aisle seats. I'm like, okay, great. I go and I sit down and I notice it's really hot on the plane. There's no air blowing in. They have not hooked up the auxiliary power to this plane.
So man. There
is no air conditioning because you don't run air conditioning on a plane unless the engine's running or they've got the auxiliary power hooked up.
Yeah.
So we're all sitting there sweltering and waiting for this to happen.
And Houston's a swamp.
Oh,
FYI.
Yeah.
FYI.
Yeah.
It's a swamp there.
And we're waiting and... finally, they get a little bit of air going, and the pilot comes on and says, all right, folks, we have to align, and I forget exactly what he said it was. It was a three-letter thing. We have to align this. We're going to be sitting here for about 10 minutes while they do that, and then hopefully it'll be okay, and we can be on our way. And there were a bunch of people with little kids on the plane, you know, like 2-3-year-old kids.
Oh, yeah. They're time bombs.
And they hear, we're going to be here for 10-15 minutes. A couple of them get up, bring the kids back to go to the restroom.
Yeah.
Because who knows how long it's going to be.
Right.
And they know we're not going anywhere for 10 minutes. And then the giant cunt of a flight attendant comes on the loudspeaker. And she says, everybody needs to be in their seat or we can't move. And I have to tell the pilot every time somebody gets up, because he can't move the plane if people are getting up. And if we can't move the plane, then we're going to lose our place in line and we're not going to be able to take off. Meanwhile, he is literally just 1 minute ago say it's going to be 12 minutes.
Right.
And then she repeated herself like as soon as the first person came back from the restroom and the other person went into the restroom with their 3-year-old.
She's bathroom shaming.
I'm like... Shut up, you bitch.
Man, fuck her.
Right? So we finally get out there. We finally, you know, the air starts blowing. It's like, oh, thank sweet. Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus. Your prayers have been answered.
Oh, by the way, in the Houston airport, they announce loudly and frequently where the Interfaith Chapel is
in
a variety of terminals. And it's so loud that you cannot hear the actual gate announcement despite standing right next to the gate. So thank you.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
No, listen, just go to the Interfaith Chapel and pray about it.
Right? Yeah. Let me pray on this.
Pray on it.
So anyway, the flight was, I'm going to say it was pretty bouncy.
Okay.
So they were very late with their beverages. It was like from Houston to Sacramento, they went through once.
No.
One time.
That's like a 4-hour flight, right? 3.5-hour flight?
Yeah, it's about a 4-hour flight.
Yeah.
They went through one time.
That is BS.
Yeah.
They'll do it twice on a Southwest flight from here to San Diego.
And the turbulence really wasn't bad. It was like, it was a little bumpy, but it wasn't anything where I'd be like, oh my God, they really need to have people's. So anyway, we got to Sacramento 40 minutes late, and then it took them almost a half hour to get the bags out. So I was supposed to be landing at 11:40. We landed at 12:20. It was after 1 a.m. before I got home.
Oh, man.
But I was not dragged off the plane.
Well, I mean, not this time.
No, I was not dragged.
There's plenty of other times, Nate.
Well, sure, there's still plenty of other times when anything like that can happen. And, you know, if I will guarantee you this one thing, though, that if I happen to be asked to leave a plane for whatever reason, it won't sound like this. Still funny.
Oh,
still funny.
I feel so sorry. I feel bad. Like, I just feel bad about
those
that.
Were very bad times.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it.
Goodbye.
Exactly. Goodbye.
Oh, man.
But, you know, if you don't want bad things to happen to you, you really should listen, because then, you know, things like.
I mean, at least this way, he's going to be able to collect at least a million or two. You
know. No, he won't.
You don't think he's going to get any money from this?
I do not think he is. I don't think he's getting any money from this.
I think
this.
That they're going to give him some money to just be quiet about. And just
I don't think
away.
He's getting any money.
You don't?
Nope. Nope.
Should we make a bet on this?
No, because I don't bet money.
Well, let's bet something else.
No. No, I'm not betting.
Come on.
Not betting. But I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen.
I'm pretty sure it's going to.
Nope. Nope. He's, you know, he'll get.
He was on the phone with his lawyer before it even happened. He's going to sue.
Of course he's going to sue, but he ain't getting money. They're not going to give him money. It's going to set a terrible precedent if he does that. And by the way, if he gets money out of anybody, it will be the airport security people and not United Airlines. Yeah. Mark my words.
I will mark your words.
Mark my words, because they had every right to get him off the plane, and he violated. I looked through this. He violated several different things, including the ever vague interfering with a crew member. You're not allowed to do that. All right. So this was big news this past weekend. Not this past weekend, but the weekend before when I was out of town. Kylie Jenner made an appearance at a local high school prom. Oh my God, it's Kylie Jenner. What does that sound like? It sounds like this. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, man.
Oh, you want to hear some more of what it sounds like?
Yes, please. Was that guy just jizzed in his pants?
I'm sure there was a lot of that.
Like, I heard a guy, he was like, oh my God.
Rio Americano High School students posted a bunch of videos to social media, took to Twitter, and someone said, Zac Efron is my prom date next. And tell me why my brother took Kylie Jenner to prom tonight. The prom was held at the Library Galleria in downtown Sacramento. Here's why Kylie Jenner went to prom with your brother. She's getting her own E! Show.
Oh, awesome.
They're doing, I will not be watching it.
Are you sure?
But you get to go inside Kylie Jenner's private world with E!'s.
I thought that was going to be a much different introduction.
Right. E!'s Life of Kylie. The makeup mogul will share her personal life with fans this summer. Ryan Seacrest tweeted, we're going to do 8 episodes to start kickoff this summer. I'm guessing you will see this in that.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Because why else is Kylie Jenner coming to Sacramento to go to prom with a dude? There's no reason why. Absolutely no reason why. So now you know.
Now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
It is, and knowledge is power.
Now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
All right, Jason, what's been eating at you?
Oh, man, fucking everything. I hate so much. No, I'm just kidding. Or am I? Who knows? I would like to say that what's been really chapping my hide. Oh, you know, I love my wife, but I'm going to have a little bit of a grievance with her.
Oh.
Yeah. And I love her so much, but one of the points of contention that we have sometimes is driving. And this weekend I drove to Piedmont, which is an hour and a half drive.
Mm-hmm.
Drove there and then drove back. And I asked her if she wanted to drive, and she said no, she didn't want to drive. So I was the one that drove.
Okay.
Now, the drive there, no problem. Like, no complaints about my driving. Like, it was great. Awesome drive. Amazing drive. On the drive home, about like the last half hour, last 40 minutes, CJ woke up and was crying, you know. And, you know, I mean, I bit my fingernails down, you know, because I'm kind of like, you know, it puts you on edge, you know, crying baby in a car, right? Nobody likes that. Well, she starts yelling. She starts getting upset with me because I'm going like 70, 75 miles an hour. And I'm not in the fast lane. I'm in like lane number two, lane number three. And she's like, she's getting upset with me for going 70, 75 miles an hour. And cars are passing me on the left and on the right. Mm. Like on the regular. Like I'm not even, I'm trying to go with the flow of traffic. But if I was to go with the flow of traffic, I'd be going probably close to 75, 80 miles an hour. I'd be going 10 miles an hour probably quicker.
Yeah.
And not only that, like, the speedometer might not even be working exactly right anyways, because are these tires oversized? Are they the exact right size? Mm. Like, who even knows if the speedometer is exactly right in the first place?
Sure, it hasn't been calibrated lately.
Yeah, so, but she would keep getting upset with me about it. And I was just like, I finally, at one point, I was like, I asked if you wanted to drive. And you said no.
And how did that go?
Will you see the black eye that I have right now?
was it greeted with silence and a stare that would chill the blood of a gunslinger?
It went over pretty much exactly how you think it would go over. But, you know, I mean, like, I think that she understood. And it's like, and at the same time, like, I get it, too, because, you know, I'm going 70 miles, 75 miles. She thought that I was speeding to get home
right. Because
the baby was. And I'm like, no, I'm just going, like, people on the 80, if you drive the 80 at all between here and Fairfield, between here and Dayton, like, people are going 75, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, you got to be in the right lane if you're going to go slower than that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but I'm not going to go 55 miles an hour. Like, because really, that's the only other option you have. You go over to the other right lane
right. To
where people aren't passing, and you're going to have to go 60 miles an hour, and that is it.
Right.
And I'm not going to do that because, A, like, I'm not doing anything bad. And if we, anyhow, so, and she's like, you're in the car with your daughter and your wife, precious cargo, and like, give me a hard time about it. And I get it. And I know that I'm driving safe. I'm not going 85.
Right.
I could be going the same speed as everybody else, but I'm keeping a nice length of, nice, like, you know,
you're
like,
not weaving in and out of cars.
No, and people are cutting me off left and right. Like, people are going in and out of traffic around me, like, yeah, all over the place, especially since I'm leading, like, if I'm going 50 miles or over, I'm leading at least three car lengths in front of me. Like, I'm not, like, I try to drive very safely in the first place. And she was just going to be upset with me. So, yeah, that's probably my, I love her. She's the most amazing woman ever, and I couldn't have done any better. I would say that's probably my grievance, because I try to do the best that I can, and I was just going, like, I wasn't even going totally, I was still pacing a car in front of me,
mm-hmm,
and, like, kind of going the same speed as them, with plenty of space in between us. So I was in no danger. Like, I would have, may have been in more danger being behind the guys that are possibly drunk driving in the slow lane. Because,
mm-hmm,
that's what the drunk guys think that they're smart do. They were wearing the Drunk Lives Matter shirts. They drive in the slow lane because, you know, they're trying to concentrate and do it right.
Yeah, you sight down that solid line on the edge.
Yeah. So
this one's for you, buddy.
Thanks.
What's more appropriate than that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, enough of that.
It's a great song.
It is. It is, but it's only appropriate for what we were talking about with that. My grievance, really anything to do with air travel. There are so many of them. There really are.
Oh, man. Just let it out.
First of all.
Yeah.
When you're at home in your own space, mm-hmm. you can lack all the personal spatial awareness that you like.
Yeah.
Because you're in your house. When you're in a plane with 100-some-odd other people, you're not in your fucking living room.
True.
By the way, it's also not cool to encourage your kid to scream out loud, ha ha ha, let's play, ha ha ha. You're on the plane. I understand kids are kids. But getting them all hyped up is not the answer. Also, when you're walking down the aisle and you're a larger gentleman or lady, try to make every effort you can to not bump your flanks into the people as you're going down the aisle. Because that's not cool either. Mm-hmm. It's not cool.
It's not.
Airport terminals, oh my God. You know what? you can say a lot of things about Sacramento, but God damn it, our airport is nice.
Yep.
They've redone Terminal A now from the last time I was stuck there until 2 in the morning waiting for a plane.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. There's actually places to plug in stuff and sit in comfortable chairs. There's still not a vending machine or anything open after 10 p.m., but still.
Yeah, all right. Well, the other side's the same way, too.
Here's the problem. If everything closes at 10 and your flight's supposed to leave at midnight,
yeah, you're
at. And then there's a delay, then you're screwed.
You're totally but fine.
Go to Philadelphia. Oh my God, what a shithole that airport is. Go to Houston. Really nice airport. But are you fucking kidding me? A fucking half a mile walk?
Well, and don't they have the tram that's the, is that the one that has like a tram?
No.
Which one was it?
There's one in Detroit has a tram. By the way, there were two different moving sidewalks. One was closed for maintenance. The other one just wasn't running. And you know how long the two of them combined were? Maybe 200 feet.
Yeah.
Of the half mile. It was a half mile walk.
You know, Phoenix Sky Harbor has that right. They have that right. They have lots of moving sidewalks that are working.
In Detroit, if you can, you will land. Detroit has two different terminals, and then you have to go down and through this underground tunnel with psychedelic lights.
Wow.
But they've got people movers down there. So you go down an escalator, you get on the people mover, and you go. Or you can walk in the middle. There's plenty of room, and you can make it from one side to the other and get from one point to the other. Houston, big wide hallways and bullshit. and loud announcements for the Interfaith fucking chapel. Fuck you.
Yeah, I can't remember. Chris and I, when we came in from on our honeymoon from Cancun,
yeah,
we flew into Houston, I believe, where we caught our connecting flight, and it was the fucking worst. Like we are never getting a connecting flight on an international flight again. Like, because the customs part of it,
oh yeah,
was shitty. And then once we get through the customs, the international area is a completely different area mm-hmm. than the rest of the airport.
Sure.
So then, and we had like an hour and a half to get to the next place. Like, yeah, fuck you in the ass. Fuck you in the ass, Houston Airport.
it's a gleaming, wonderful new airport and all that, but no, it's not nice. Travel sucks, even if you're not being dragged off the plane because fuck you, we've overbooked and this crew needs to get to Louisville.
Yeah, fucking, I can't believe in this fucking day and age that they overbook. They like, and I get it because they think people aren't going to show up.
Right.
They need to sell every seat.
Oh, yeah.
But come on, you fuckers. Like,
right.
You, and not only that, they knew how long before that, like that those four people, like those guys have been scheduled for a while to do whatever flight to go wherever right. they're supposed to be going. It wasn't like they just woke up and were like, oh my gosh, we're now in Houston. We need to get over here. You know what I mean? Like they don't.
A lot of this happens because these big airlines, these smaller local, these smaller routes like that one are run by a different air. It's not a different airline. It's under the header of United or American
right,
or Delta.
Right, but it's like Aviation Air.
Yeah, it's bullshit airlines.
Yeah. Northeastern Airways.
Yeah, that's what read it. But yeah, travel in general, fuck you, travel. It's just fucking fuckers. Fuck.
Yeah. Come on, Elon Musk. Get your fucking Hyperloop started already, you son of a bitch.
Well, that's great if you just want to go from San Francisco to L.A.
No, they want to do the Hyperloop. They do the Hyperloop. They're going to do it all over.
You know what they need to hop a Hyperloop? From terminal to terminal in fucking Houston. That's where they need a Hyperloop.
Yeah, you son of a bitches. Get that shit started.
You goddamn cocksuckers.
You smoking sausage fucking ass bunchers.
All right, so we're done being angry now. It's time to talk about other people's misfortune. One of the first riders on Europe's fastest roller coaster at the newly opened Spanish theme park got an extra thrill in his ride when he collided with a pigeon.
Oh, nice,
Jason. Let's watch this thing. There's not really good audio, so that doesn't matter. But we see the video. These two gentlemen, they're flying. They're just going, and the one on the left side of the screen is very excited until he feels something sort of hit his face and neck, and he goes to brush it aside, and then he looks at his hand and realizes there's blood there and that he was hit by a pigeon. In slow motion, it's delightful because he looks a little like Prince Harry.
Oh my god.
Being taken out. It's like he's being choked to death by the way, his face has killed the pigeon. The pigeon is dead. He flings it off.
There's so much bounces blood on his
face. It bounces off the guy next to him shoulder. And he's like looking at his face like, oh my god, there's blood everywhere. Oh. And then the other guy's like, ah, calm down. And then all of a sudden he's like, yay, I want a roller coaster. So the hand goes back up. It's fucking amazing.
Oh my gosh.
It's the Red Force roller coaster. It's the grand opening of Ferrari Land in Catalonia.
Wait, so they have a Ferrari Land in Spain?
Yes, they do now.
But isn't Ferrari, it's an Italian car, right?
It sure is.
Okay.
It sure is, Jason.
So they're just blurring the lines there.
Yes.
I guess they're all in the EU, so why is it?
Well, they are. So that happened. Now, you're thinking to yourself, Coke is bad for you, right? Coca-Cola, it's full of sugar and chemicals, and
yeah.
It'll clean off battery terminals.
Right.
Well, it saved the life of a disabled man.
Oh, yeah?
That's right. Paramedics rescued a disabled man choking on a piece of chicken. He wasn't choking his chicken. He was choking on chicken.
Oh.
He struggles with swallowing food. They called the paramedics out. And he had a can of full fat Coke, as they call it in the article. It's just regular Coke, poured down his throat to dissolve the food. The 44-year-old was only able to swallow the meat after the medics at the Northampton General Hospital had performed the procedure, which was dumping a can of Coke in his throat. Usually able to clear the food himself, he dialed 999. That's their version of 911, and communicated his medical emergency through clicking buttons on his phone to indicate yes or no. How long did that have to take? He was saved using a bizarre method back in September. He has been now reunited with the ambulance crew. He said, I tried to use a handle of a spoon to get it out myself, but it didn't help. Maybe you should have poked it down further. Then he had to make the call. It all becomes a bit of a blur after that. I don't remember much. Yeah, you were choking on chicken.
Yeah.
He thanked the medical team by presenting them with a bouquet of flowers and a can of Coke.
Oh, how nice.
That is apparently one of the last tricks in the book to pour a full fat Coca-Cola on blockage because it can dissolve the food and help clear it out. So he coughed up the chicken within minutes. However, they warned that the public should not try the trick at home. Instead, call medical emergencies when someone is choking.
Well, guess the new fad coming in now.
Oh,
it's the Coke Challenge. It's the new Coke Challenge.
You know what I want? The Cinnamon Coke Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to dump a can of Coke down your throat and then try and hold cinnamon in your mouth.
Oh, and then you dump a bunch of Mentos in.
Yep. Diet Cokes and Mentos. Meanwhile, in Oregon, they're going to a simpler method to get teens to stop texting and driving. They're putting notes from mom on highway signs from the Department of Transportation. Mom knows best, no hashtag distracted driving. On the sign, it says, drop the phone because I said so. That's why, mom.
Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm triggered.
Also, put the phone away. I'm going to count to three. And don't text and drive and eat your vegetables. By the way, no teenagers actually saw these signs because they were looking down and texting.
And also, I mean, come on, man. Like, I mean, there's a bunch of kids that probably don't have moms. And like, maybe they see those and they're just like, I wish my mom cared. I wish my mom, like, there's some guy that's really angry and like, is like, he's just really angry and just hates women. And like, he's like, sees that and he just like melts and becomes like a mess because he's like, I wish my mom loved me enough to write me a note.
On a freeway sign. Note on a freeway sign. All right, it's time to do
this. That's dangerous.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
All right, it's time to go to my neck of the woods.
Oh, how about that?
Newport, Vermont. Where a Newport man is facing... A Newport man is facing serious charges after an alleged BB gun assault.
Pew, pew.
That's right. He's facing serious jail time after police say he shot up his friend's vehicle with a semi-automatic BB gun back in March. Tyler Grenier, who's 18, was in court to face charges stemming from the incident that took place in Newport March 28th. Police officer Royce Lancaster stated in his affidavit that at 9:30 p.m., he responded to Grenier's residence on Scottsdale Road after a report that a man had fired multiple shots at a car being driven by Jonathan Bushy, who's 19. Now, according to court records, Bushy arrived at Grenier's home to pick him up for a night out. When he arrived with a 20-year-old female passenger, police alleged that Grenier fired through the open driver's side window with a CO2-operated semi-automatic BB gun. Bushy told police he backed up to get away, and Grenier fired several more times at his windshield. According to the report, before the assault, Grenier shouted, "You don't fuck with family!" The affidavit states the two men were friends before the incident and that Grenier had texted Bushy asking him to hang out earlier in the night. Grenier now facing multiple charges relating to the incident, including aggravated assault with a weapon, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and reckless endangerment. The BB gun shooting could bring him a net of 47 years in prison if convicted on all charges. He pled not guilty in court. According to the documents, nobody was actually injured in the BB gunning.
Man, can you imagine having to explain that to a bunch of inmates after you got sentenced to 47 years in jail, and you're like,
hard time.
Like, what are you in here for, bro? Like, you'd have to lie. You'd have to say, like, I was shooting a semi-automatic weapon at somebody.
Yeah, but they have the internet. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, then they'll find out, like, a semi-automatic BB gun.
Right.
Like, I don't... And, like, to call a BB gun, like...
Well, you could shoot an eye out with that. We learned that from A Christmas Story.
You could shoot an eye out, like, yeah, with it, of course. But, like, the possibility of killing somebody... Like, with a BB gun.
Well, especially when no one was actually injured.
Yeah, like, nobody was actually even hurt. Like, you could maybe make an argument if somebody had been hit by BBs or if he had hit somebody.
Well, the intent was still there. You could go with something like reckless endangerment.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Assault.
Right? But at the same time, still, too, like, the guy's going to have a felony on. Like, guy's 18. Like, that's stupid. Like, it's stupid male to, like, man, you know what that guy probably needed? He probably needed a good tug. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he probably needed to go to, like, one of those massage parlors.
And who knows? Maybe that's why he had that feeling about his friend. He don't fuck with family.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe he saw that 20-year-old and it was his family. He's like, man, you son of a bitch!
Could be. Just wait out. I'm guessing he was lying in wait.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He must have. Yeah. Maybe the guy did something to his family that... Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was a past transgression.
It sounds like backwoods justice to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, then hats off to him. Guy probably deserved it.
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah,
this is one I'll keep an eye on for
you. Yeah, let's see how many years he gets for shooting a semi-automatic BB gun.
Sure. All right, that's going to wrap it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Hey, Wheeler Walker Jr. has got a new album coming out. This is the first single off of it. This is called Summers in Kentucky. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Take a listen, and we'll see you next time for another episode of The Nate Darling Show. Bye-bye.
Summer's in Kentucky, man, I miss that place. Used to press your pussy up against my mouth. Now you've had a couple kids and it's all stretched out. Starting to think we can figure it out. Summer's in Kentucky, wanna leave by night. Kids hit the road with a country band. There's room for all y'all on the side of my land. Start our lives all over again. Heard you need a few guys sag your tits, but who am I to say, cause I've aged like shit.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.